Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. And boys and girls, I want you to pay very close attention now. Very close attention. Genesis chapter 6. You should not be talking, boys and girls. Listen, don't talk. Just set up there and pay real close attention. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I want you to find verse number 7 of Genesis chapter 6. And then if you would all stand with me, we'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. I'm going to read, starting with verse number 7 of Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says this, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in the generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight to be better than the way Help us to be better than the world. Help us to behave better than the world. Help us, Father, to look at the Scripture tonight, and as a result of it, to live differently than the world. Now, God, we live in a sin-cursed world, and the behavior of people has deteriorated and has gotten worse and worse. But, Lord, we are different. We have Jesus in our lives. So help us, God, that we would live in such a way that it glorified Him. Now, help the children to be still so I do not have to correct them during the service, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you heard it there, twice it said the earth was filled with violence. Two times in the Scripture those words are used. Earlier this week in Maryland, in a city called Glen Burnie, a group of teenagers accused a mom and her two children of cutting in line while they were in a McDonald's. So a mom with two children, ages 6 and 7, were standing in line at a McDonald's. Four teenage girls were there, and they accused this mom or one of these little children of cutting in line. Teenage girl hit the mom, knocked her to the ground, began to beat her. The three girls that were with her got in on it. Someone pushed the little children out of the road because now there are four older teenage girls beating, kicking, and pouncing on a mom at McDonald's. She was knocked to the ground, repeatedly stomped while she was down there. Her two children were being held in an act of mercy. A couple of bystanders pulled the children out of the road so they didn't get sucked into the fight. The mom had both black eyes, a bloody nose, a bloody lip, and her body was covered with bruises all over the thought that maybe somebody had cut in line at McDonald's. The behavior of people in our country is tragic. Charlottesville, Virginia, on Saturday, at a protesting rally, violence broke out. Protesters and anti-protesters clashed with fists flying and hateful rhetoric between the two. As a result of just that clash, there were 15 injuries from the fight that broke out. A short time later, a man, still angry and a part of the protesting, took his car and drove it into a group of people, killing one, injuring 19 more. A police helicopter that was trying to monitor these juvenile acts of misbehavior crashes. Two police officers are killed while they were trying to monitor the mess, totaling 34 injuries and 3 deaths. Because people will not control themselves, and they're violent. All the way back in the book of Genesis, God is grieved about man's behavior when God said two times, the earth is filled with violence. Noah is the man of God on the scene at the time when that was being said. And the Bible says that Noah walked with God, but the culture was violent. If you heard it there, Genesis 6:11, filled with violence. Again in chapter 6, verse number 13, those words are used again, filled with violence. And God actually brought the flood partially as a result of all the violence that was going on the face of the earth at that time. And God refers to it as evil behavior. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. In other words, it's talking about people almost drunk on violence. According to Genesis chapter 6, verse number 6, God was very grieved. His heart was broken about the fact that the way people were treating people. I believe the great heart of God was broken over the meanness and the violence that was present. In Noah's day, the violence seemed to be everywhere. Well, I have to tell you, we again, in our day and age, face that kind of behavior. The earth tends to be filled with violence. You know, it's a sad thing because America claims that she's a Christian nation. It's sad, though, that people that would call themselves Christian would be so violent in their behavior. Oh, I don't think you are. Certainly, I don't want to be, but it's out there. I'm just going to talk to you for a little while, and I want you to hear about violence for just a little while, because, you know, folks, Christians are supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different. And I'm going to tell you where some of it comes from. And we ought to truly face it and take a look at where in the world does this come from? First of all, let me warn you, there's an awful lot of violence on television. A lot of violence on television. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fools rage and are confident. Of course, you know, rage is a part of violence. That's what happened up there in Virginia on Saturday. They just rage came to a peak and they started a miniature war right there on the streets. Do you understand that on television, get this, parents, cartoons average 20 acts of violence per hour. And though it is at a child's level, it's still an act of violence. There's violence everywhere. And our culture, they gravitate toward it. You know, the more violent something is, the more we consider it entertaining. Well, it's no wonder there's violence everywhere. We use it as entertainment. I guess we could almost go back to the Colosseums and the gladiator days then, huh? But we watch it through a screen. And so we think it's different. Now, be careful. You will find violent behavior where violence is used as entertainment. Media invoked violence is out of control. You say, why? I'll tell you why. It sells. It sells. We live in a nation where violence is an important part of the economy. Do you know that if the media can invoke violence, then the American people run to the television to watch the violence, and it ups the ratings of newscasters and everything. Don't let them fool you. They know what they're doing. So, let's face it. Often there are hideous acts of violence against people, and when they're committed, they're reenacting something that they saw on television. Today in America, one of America's main sources of entertainment is the violent nature that they see on television. Parents, let me explain something. If your kids watch violent things on television constantly, and then you see them treating each other that way, it's a learned behavior. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just trying to tell you, kids can't watch people be rude and mean and aggressive toward each other all day long and not turn around and be rude and mean and aggressive toward people. And who just happens to be handy? A little brother. He got it. Why? Well, I seen it. It happened on TV. It just happened at our house. So, And it happens. There's violence on the television. But not only that. There's violence in the music. Violence in the music. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 6 says, "Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." There it says the mouth. What comes out of the mouth? Obviously, a lot of music comes out of the mouth. But it's talking about violence coming out of the mouth. The average young person, the average teenager, listens to music about 2.5 hours a day. Now, if you listen to the kind of music that has violence in it, then you're getting a diet of violent music. You know, one in three of the most popular songs contain references to drugs and immorality and violence. You just have to understand that the music that's out there, a lot of it is very, very violent, inciting riots and the rebellion against authority. Now, whether you like to face it or not, I'll tell you what, you check into the people who are guilty of the most violent crimes in our country, and then find out what kind of music they had a steady diet of. They were not listening to someone sing "Love Lifted Me." They were listening to music that incites violence. Music affects our behavior. Lyrics or words affect our behavior. The beat or the rhythm affects our behavior. And again, you check and you find out what kind of music the most violent people in our country listen to, and I will promise you, it incites violence. And you'll find that I believe it helped to program them. So, what affects us? Where does this violent nature come from? Why is our country so violent? Well, there's violence all over the television. There's violence all over the music, and not only that. The violence in the video games or the computer games has just become outrageous. Outrageous. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 7, it says, "He that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father." Here it's talking about the companion of a destroyer. Proverbs 28:24. Listen, when you're working your keyboard or your mouse, and it's all about destroying people, again, you better be careful. 85% of video games contain violence. 50% of the 85% is extremely serious violence. Now, I have to say, I'm not against all video games. I'm not. I'm not against them all. When I was growing up, though, the kind of video games that we had and the kind of video games they have today are totally different. Totally different. I couldn't tell you the names of any of the most current violent video games. I could ask a few of you and you could give them to me. But I can tell you this. What they play today is far removed from Pac-Man. A little round, cute guy that went around gobbling up things. They think that's lame today because they want blood, guts. They want hatchets, chainsaws, bombs, knives. Now, folks, you can say what you want, but if you get violence all day long on the television and violence in your music and then violence in your video games, I've got a hunch we might end up with a violent society. Not only that, the violence that is available on the internet and through social networking. Let me read to you. Luke chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, What shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely. Be content with your wages." Now, here it is said, don't be going around doing violence to people. You know that more than 5 million people more than 5 million online U.S. households experience some type of abuse from Facebook in 1 year. Some type of abuse. Cyberbullying is an epidemic. Now, you know, I just taught a couple of lessons on the last two Wednesday nights about that type of a thing. But see what happens? People strike out at others on Facebook, and people strike out at others through social media, and they don't feel responsible. You don't have to face someone eyeball to eyeball. You don't have to come in contact with them. So we launch attacks, and we're mean, and we're violent toward people. And it's sinful. That sort of stuff, it creates a lot of problems. You know that one out of every three young people that are on the internet and they are communicating on the internet, they receive some type of threat while they're on the internet. Sexual predators use the internet as a primary tool for their sin. And again, that the texting and emails makes it so that the writer can be rude, hateful, evil, and virtually violent in their nature. But they don't feel like they're responsible, or they don't have to give the answer to anybody for it. But that's not true. God doesn't want you to behave that way. And so, it's out there. Violence, and plenty of it on the television. Violence, and plenty of it in the music. Violence, and plenty of it in the computer games. And then violence, and it more and more so in the social networking and communication through the internet. But not only that. I preached a sermon about this, I think it was last Sunday night. There's violence because the amount of evil has increased in our world. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. Now remember, sin is what you and I do to hurt ourselves. But evil is sin on steroids. Evil is when we hurt others. We pull others into hurting others. Well, if you want to hurt yourself, that's bad enough. But wait a minute. God said, I don't want you to hurt yourself, but whatever you do, don't go to hurting other people. And God calls it evil when we pull others into it and we launch attacks. That includes spreading rumors and character assassination and gossip and virtually mental plots to hurt other people. But it's very obvious that in our world, evil is increasing. We live in evil days. I think the internet can be used in a powerful way for good and for God. But wait a minute. It can be used just as powerfully for the devil and for wrong if it's not used right. And I don't think we ought to be evil on the internet. And I don't think we ought to be evil in person. But there's a lot of violence out there. And if people would say, well, it's just a sign of the times. Well, you can call it what you want, but you can trace it. It's not hard to figure out. If everybody watches television like they do, and the television is just packed full of violence, then the music is packed full of violence, and the violence in the computer games. And parents, and you young people, I'm not trying to take all your fun away from you, but as pastor, I'm supposed to warn you about what'll destroy you. Moms and dads, you ought to know what your kids are playing. There's some pretty nasty stuff out there. Can't we find a little entertainment that is not full of blood? The internet, the cyberbullying, there's so much violence. And some of you think, well, I don't think you ought to be a bully. Some of you are just gossip bullies. You're a gossip bully. You go around just talking about people and saying things that don't need to be said. That's evil. That's evil. So I think there is violence in our day and age because of evil. But not only that. Now, it now is creating a violence that is wrong in our homes. Now, we shouldn't have violence in our homes. Oh, I think everybody has the emotion of anger, but it has increasingly gotten worse and worse and worse. Tirades being fits of anger by husbands and wives and young people, it becomes routine. That's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. Proverbs 21:19 says, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Now, you see God said, watch out for an angry man. And then he talks about a contentious woman. And that word contentious there, the Bible says that contention comes only but one way, and that's through pride. But folks, let me tell you something. And I don't want to embarrass moms and dads, but I do. When I was telling the young people they ought to be careful what they're playing and what they do, let me say to the moms and dads in here, yeah, you shouldn't be screaming and yelling at each other all the time. It incites violence. I think there is a right and a wrong way for a husband and wife to talk to each other. And look, I would recommend to you that if you feel like a conversation is going to be a little more tense than the norm, maybe you ought to do it in private, not be doing it in front of your kids. But boy, our homes then end up being places where there's yelling and screaming and throwing things. Things being broken. Folks, that's not what Christian homes are supposed to be like. That's not how it's supposed to be. 15.5 million children in the United States live in families in which mom and dad will hurt each other. Get that? 15.5 million homes. Kids will live in a home where mom and dad will try to hurt each other. And that is virtually physical hurt. That doesn't include how nasty people can be with one another in their evil words and how they degrade one another. It's not supposed to be that way, folks, so you know. Home's to be a haven, not a hell. Home is to be a pleasant place. Home is to be a place of peace, not war. When we look at what's going on in our country, I look back and I see what happened in the day of Noah. And God twice said the earth is filled with violence. Just it's everywhere you go. What was he talking about? Evidently it had spread to every age level and it was in every nook and cranny. And today, we've got our television full of violence and our music full of violence and the games our children play are full of violence. You know, we've come a long way with games, haven't we? Kids used to play with yo-yos, marbles, jacks, jump ropes, and ride bikes. Today, we sit and look at pictures of blood, massacre, chainsaws, switchblades. And am I exaggerating? That's their entertainment. And we wonder why there's so much violence out there. It's everywhere. Then we must deal, of course, with violence in our schools. I could call the roll and talk to you about how many schools have had wackos walking in with guns and shooting each other and threatening one another. It's sad. Joel chapter 3 verse 19, it says, Egypt shall be a desolation and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children. Folks, you know, I'm not sure. Well, I am sure. The violence is not good for a grown adult. But let me tell you something. If it's not good for a grown adult, it can't be good for a child. A child. You know, some of you can be grateful. You grew up where there was far less violence everywhere. You still have issues with your anger and your rage. But I feel sorry for this generation because they are surrounded by it. It's constant. You turn the news on and every day there's another violent fit being thrown by somebody, somewhere. But there's the violence in our schools now. Schools... It's becoming a norm for schools to have metal detectors. Schools now have security guards. Teachers are fighting for their right to bear arms at school. Now, I'm for people having the right to bear arms. But when you have teachers saying, oh, I'm going to have a firearm to do what? To go to school? You know, when daycare needs to carry a pistol to protect themselves, and sometimes from the students. What a sad day. Oh, but don't be shocked. Look at it. It's in our music. It's on television. The media is all over it. It's in our video games. It's everywhere. You know, there are more threats toward teachers today than ever before. You say, from who? Parents? Students? When I grew up in school, they could still discipline you and get your attention. You know who's disciplined today? Parents. The parents get the discipline, or the teacher gets the discipline, but the kids don't. Boy, the roles have changed. They've changed. Let me say also, not only now do you have the violence affecting the school systems, you have the violence affecting our homes. If you're not careful, the violence could even affect a church. Violence among the brethren, if you will. Proverbs 11:9 says, "And a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." Here it's talking about destroyeth his neighbor. Destroyeth. Folks, so you know, and it's age old, and it may sound old fashioned, but you know, Christians are supposed to love each other. They're supposed to love each other. Christians are to seek peaceful resolutions to their differences and between one another. Look, if you ever have a difference with somebody in the church, very peacefully sit down and talk with them about it. You don't need to get violent. You don't have to be evil. You don't have to bully one another. I don't know of any problem like this that we have now or have had. But let me tell you something. If something doesn't go right between you and someone in the church, you don't get on Facebook and attack and become vicious and nasty. You don't do that sort of stuff. Christians don't behave that way. And I'll tell you something. If the church starts acting that way, and thank God we don't, but if the church starts acting that way, why would anybody out in that sin-cursed world ever want to come here and become a part of a church with that behaves like the world behaves? You need to have a place where you can go and people, they know how to treat each other. There needs to be a place where if you had differences, you resolve it like a mature, decent Christian. You resolve it not like somebody that is so full of television and so full of the wicked music and so full of all the video games where they just want to beat the stuffings out of each other. That's not how Christians act. And so in the church, there shouldn't be that kind of behavior. Christians are to love, not hate. The church never has been intended to be, nor does God want it to be now. It's not a boxing arena where we get to punch each other around and bully each other around. It's just not supposed to work that way. But all the violence that's out there, all of it, it then begins to affect our homes. Then it affects our schools. Then it can affect our churches, but it ought not be so. Here's the thing. Do you understand that when it happened in the day of Noah, God said, "This makes me so ill. It makes me so sad. It is part of what contributed to the flood." And God said, I don't want to deal with this. Can I tell you something? America better be careful. God made, and I'm not talking about our threat from overseas. I'm talking about our threat from within. The way we behave and the way we act. Now, I'll just tell you all, I love you. I want you to be careful when you're driving out there. When you've got somebody that's experiencing road rage, could I recommend that you not vent? Could I recommend that you just let them pass by? You say, why? Somebody's going to pull a gun out and shoot you. Why? Because you cut in line at McDonald's. You're dealing with a very violent behavior. And it ought not be that way. It shouldn't be like that. And especially it shouldn't be that way with you and I as Christians. The violence. We don't have a problem with people being rude or mean to one another in church, and let's work at keeping it that way. It ought to be that way. But you know, then what they deem them hate crimes, thousands of hate crimes a year. The Bible says in Psalm 2:1, "Why do the heathen rage?" Talking about a rage, rage is attributed to the heathen. Hate crimes are those where you just hate someone. Now let me explain. You and I are to hate sin. We're not to hate people. So we hate sin, not people. And if you're immature, you hate people because of their sin, and that's where hate crimes come from. I may agree with you about the sins of mankind, But I'm not out to abuse men. I'm out to love men. I'm out to hate sin. And maturity is when you can hate someone's sin and love them. Boy, as a pastor, I want to stand up here and throw a fit about the things in life that will destroy you. And I'll say to you, you're watching some junk on television that will destroy you. And you're listening to music that will destroy you. And you're playing video games that will destroy you. But folks, I don't do that because I'm trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to attack you. I love you and I'm your friend. But I hate sin. Why? Because what sin will do to people. But you're very immature if you hate people because of their sin. That's not how God works. If that's how God works, we'd all die and go to hell. If God would have hated us because of our sin, the Bible teaches there's none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we would have all died and gone to hell if God hated the sinner. But I'll tell you this, God hates the sin with an intense hatred. It is vile to Him, but He loves the sinner. Hate crimes come from immaturity. It may be that somebody hates the right thing, but they're not supposed to hate the people that are doing the wrong thing. Attacks on people because of their race, maybe their religion, maybe a disability or even a mental disability. And let me tell you, young people, listen to the preacher for a second. If somebody has a handicap, it's a very bad thing to tease and hurt someone that has a handicap. That is just a terrible thing. And if you say, well, it was funny. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. If somebody has a speech impediment, it's not funny to mock and try to hurt them. If somebody maybe their mind is not developed like other people, it's not a funny thing. It's not a funny thing to hurt them. You know, and right now in our country, one of the highest levels of hate crimes are racial. You happen to be in a church that believes the song, red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. Did you know the color of your skin and the color of my skin? Really, God, I don't think God sees colors like that. I think God loves everybody. Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Hating someone or hurting someone because of the color of their skin is very immature. It's very juvenile. But there's violence over it. There's violence over it. You can go to every race and find some bad apples. I met some jerks of all colors. You've met them too. But because you met one that's a certain color that's bad, that doesn't make everybody that color bad. And I'm just so saddened in the way that America tends to be behaving right now. You say, well, what do you think they need? Well, I think America needs a revival. I think we need to get people saved, and we need to get them back to thinking God's way. Now, you probably won't have it unless preachers will get up and tell you what the problem is. You know, the television is full of it. The music is full of it. The video games and the internet, and there's just so much evil out there. Folks, you be careful that you don't let that evil or that violence affect your home. You say, preacher, there's nothing I can do about America. There's something you do about your house. Something you do about your house. Learn to control your temper. Learn not to be throwing the fits all the time. Learn not to be throwing things. And young people, you learn it too. And let me say something to every brother and sister in here. Every one of you, you got brothers and sisters sitting under the sound of my voice. You got to love each other. You got to watch out for each other. Your brother's not your punching bag. It ought to be that you and your brother and you, your sister are close. You ought to be be the best friends on the face of the earth. You ought to be for one another. Don't hurt each other. We're supposed to care about each other, especially those in our family. And husbands and wives, it'd be good for some of you to become best friends. You're not enemies. You're not competing. You're to support one another and help one another. Let's not let the violence affect our homes. And the best we can, let's keep our kids out of the mess that the violence creates, whether it's on the internet or at the school. Let's be careful. And let's never let our church become like that. Ever let our church become like that. I'm saddened. Our country reminds me of the day of Noah. where it said, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence." It's sad. I think Jesus is coming again. But until then, we can help. You say, how? Let's get as many people saved as we can, and let's behave the right way. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters that we do what God wants us to do as Christians. Let's learn to treat people right. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The earth is full of violence. That's sad. That's sad. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, if you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, if you're here and you're saved, let's work on this. Everybody here, let's work. Let's work on that rage that can be inside us, that anger. Let's make sure that we don't practice it. And I believe God's spoken to our hearts tonight. In a moment, if you need the altar, you come. There might be brothers and sisters that need to come get down here at the altar and get on your knees and say, you know what, help me to be good to my brother. Help me to be good to my sister. Help us to learn to get along. Maybe you're a husband or a wife. Maybe you need a moment at the altar. Say, I need to control myself. And in some cases, there are probably people in here that you need to turn that TV off. You need to get her under control. There might be a parent or two that need to take a look at what our children are watching, and you're wondering why they throw fits and they are so violent. If that's all they do all day long on every device that you have, I wonder why. Why are they behaving that way? If God has spoken to your heart, will you lift your hand to the sky so God can see it for a moment? Say, God spoke to me. I see it. I see it. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you feel welcome to come. Young people, if you're listening to music that's got that kind of stuff in it, maybe you need to get it fixed. And the Bible says, the earth is filled with violence. The earth is filled with violence. I looked up all sorts of stories about gamers whose rage is out of control. I could have told you stories all night long. People that just play the video games constantly, and they take it out in society. They act out what they do with what they play all day long. Again, be good to your husband. Be good to your wife. Be good to your brother. Be good to your sister. Hey, you're even going to have to learn a little bit about how to handle and get along with people that are not good to you. And I'm talking about non-relatives, people at work. Learn to hate sin, but not hate people. And folks, it's okay to hate sin. I hate it very, 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 very strongly. But don't hate people. And moms and dads, let me recommend something. You need to keep your temper and rage under control. You have children to correct and discipline. But it is not to be done in rage. And it is not to be done in hatred. You're to keep it under control. The earth is filled with violence. One more time through the song, please, Rachel, and a moment we'll be on our way. Look at me for a second. Let me make a statement. We'll be on our way. As we get closer and closer to the time of the coming of Jesus, the world's going to get worse and worse. But folks, don't decide what kind of Christian you're going to be based on what the rest of the world's doing. Be a good Christian no matter what the rest of the world does. And they're getting worse and worse. They're waxing worse and worse. But you and I, we're still supposed to be good to people. Did you know that the Bible still says you're to love your enemy? And the world, they hate. But they hate people. And we're to love people. We are to hate. Don't let anybody convince you Christians don't hate. That's not true. God hates. But we hate sin, not people. That's what the Bible teaches. Let's not let our part of the world be filled with violence. That's you, me, as individuals, our homes, our church, the places that we get to influence.